Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We heard it twice this morning. The invitation in the introit and then the response in the gradual. Two parts of the service that can often be overlooked as if nothing but rote, ceremonial recession of word. Recitation of words. Thank you, Matthew. I can always count on you, brother. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. Come and see. That's the invitation, and it rings out from Psalm 66, verse 5. Our response to the invitation is captured from the words of Psalm 107, 21. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. What an awesome and wondrous thing we witnessed this morning. Baptism is nothing less than awesome. You see the word awesome in the dictionary, it should say baptism right next to it. That's how awesome it is. We were blessed to see a Christian born into the eternal kingdom of God, planted into the eternal land God has given us. Today, this morning, we were all in the delivery room with the Lord. We have seen a new life created today. Baptism saves us, Scripture says. It delivers God's Spirit to us by way of water and the Word. As we said in the gradual, He, that is God, sent out His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Again, this is found in Psalm 107. That's exactly what baptism is. The result of God's word going out and the healing of sinners. Us. Our deliverance from destruction. From the destroyer. The evil one we call the devil. Satan. Lucifer. Beelzebub. The enemy. And from the old Adam within us, too. The one deep within who likes to sin, who wants to keep on sinning, who wants to reject God and His Word. What does God say in Amos 9:14? I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. God's in the restoration business. He likes to flip houses. Your body being the house. And he takes you as a ruined, destroyed structure. He dumps all of his love into you, restores you, and then flips you to his son, Jesus Christ, who owns you forever. This morning you witness the continuation of Jesus' work of restoring the fortunes of his people. He does it through his word, and today he attached that word to these waters, and a baptism occurred. The Lord loves baptism. And he delivered someone new into this world, Kate. Holy Kate. Not just sinner Kate, but sainted sinner Kate. Prior to her baptism, like all of us, she was a ruined sinner. A destroyed building, a city laid waste. But today she has received the promise of the Holy Spirit who now dwells within the temple of her heart. She has been rebuilt into a forgiven, sainted child of God, no longer identified merely as sinner, but as restored, holy sinner, one for whom Christ died. One who has been justified by the crucifixion of her Lord, her Savior, her knight in shining armor. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living in the days of Christ's restoration, and we ourselves, like Kate, are among those who've been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb and are coming out of the great tribulation. We're living in the now but not yet fulfillment of the prophecy recorded in our Old Testament this morning. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine. That's saying, all that language is saying, we're not going to be able to keep up with the production. We're not going to be able to keep up with the restoration. The mountains are going to be so plentiful. It's just going to be pouring rivers of wine and bottles for helping babies. And all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and not just rebuild them, actually inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and get to drink the wine. They shall make gardens and get to eat the fruit of the garden. You see, Israel didn't get to always do that. The historical lesson there is they would build a city, or they would plant a vineyard, or they would plant a garden, and then they would be taken away, exiled to Babylon, exiled somewhere else, and they wouldn't get to reap the harvest of their work. And he's saying, no, you are going to get to do the work and reap the harvest. And they shall never again, he says, be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. This is what Jesus is all about. He is about planting us where we will stay forever. This is what he was doing when he walked this earth. This is what he did when he died on the cross. He was rebuilding his city, the city of God. He was planting his vineyard so that you and I would be able to drink his blood in, with, and under the sweet wine of his Holy Supper. Certain of his promise of forgiveness, that you and I, we have been forgiven, knowing that we ourselves have been planted into God's land, never to be uprooted again, never taken away from our birthright, what God has given us out of his grace. Kate was baptized into this wondrous promise today, and it is awesome. To the fulfillment of that prophecy that Christ worked out in his death for his people. For you. For you. And for me. For Kate. And for all who believe in Christ. All who hear the invitation and come and see God's awesome deeds that he does toward the children of man. It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. We have a God who cares for the children of man, and not only cares for us, but cares for us with awesome deeds, wonderful deeds. The gospel reading today speaks of this great truth. Jesus was invited to a wedding at Cana, and he blessed that wedding ceremony with his presence, but not just with his presence, but also with his miraculous action. He kicked off his ministry by doing his first miracle there. There he revealed his steadfast love for the children of men, just like he ultimately did on the cross, and just like he did among us today in baptism. You see, God loves marriage because, like baptism, he instituted it. He set up this system. It's his that he ordained to create children, to bring children into this world, children of men that he could then do awesome deeds toward. That's your God. He's kind of selfish that way. He wants people to do awesome things to. And the most wondrous of these deeds occurs in baptism, whereby he makes us children of men and children of God. He turns us into his children. It's fitting that Jesus' first public miracle was not only at a wedding, but in support of a joyous start to a wedded life that the bride and groom would have together from that day forward. It's what I was kind of sort of emphasizing with the girls up here this morning. It's a party. Our God is a God of joy. Our God keeps the party thumping. Why? Well, Jesus' entire ministry, his earthly ministry, is about his marriage to his church, his bride. The joy that comes in that. And so he wasn't about to have a wedding not be joyous. Not on his watch. As the Ephesians reading says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." See, as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands are an example. They are simply a fallen and fallible representation of Jesus. But we are to strive to be like Jesus. His body and is himself its Savior. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Every wife is a picture of the bride of Christ, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. That's baptism. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And here it is. The mystery is profound. And I am saying, Paul says, that this mystery refers to Christ and the church. Marriage is the proclamation, a proclamation of the gospel. The relationship between husband and wife is a living, breathing pronouncement of the relationship between Jesus and his church. And so, water in jars intended for the rites of purification are turned into wine at the wedding feast. It's a summary of Christ's work in our lives. And as he moves you from the water of your baptism to the wine of communion, which is itself a foretaste of the marriage feast of the Lamb that we shall see in its fullness when our bridegroom, Christ Jesus, returns in his glory. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.